Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very accomplished professional and an author from the Sunshine Coast in Australia, Mel Kettle. Mel, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Ash.
Mel is a leadership communication specialist, and she's an author of a book titled Fully Connected, and we'll be talking about her book. Mel is also an internationally recognized expert at fully connected leadership and communication, and she has been recognized as one of the top 200 biggest voices in leadership. So Mel, before we talk about leadership and your book, tell me about your own journey in brief.
Oh, I started my professional life as a conference organizer. Mm-hmm. But before that, I did a whole bunch of different jobs, including waiting tables, working as a hostess in different restaurants. One of my favorite jobs was a week at the ski fields in Australia, where I had to stand out front of the ski tube and click a button every time a car went through. But the weather that week was horrible, and so I only ended up doing it for a few hours and spent the rest of the time in this amazing house that had a jacuzzi and a sauna and a great kitchen and lots of great restaurants around. So that is probably one of my more fun experiences. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that helped me recognize that I love communicating and connecting with people, because there were 10 of us in this house and I didn't know any of them before this job for this week. And so it was an interesting lesson in how do you build relationships with people who you don't know really quickly, who you need to then live with for a short period of time. So in a nutshell, that's how it started. About 17 years ago, I started my own business doing marketing and communication for a whole range of clients. And today I work more in the leadership communication space, helping leaders and teams communicate so that they can create real connection and sustained engagement.
Amazing. Thank you. So you also believe that self-leadership is essential for creating real connection and sustained engagement. Help me understand this, particularly the self-leadership aspect. And give me an example if you can.
So leaders need to lead themselves. They lead teams and they lead cultures. And it's really difficult to lead a team or to lead a culture if you don't have a really clear sense of who you are and what you stand for. Mm-hmm. So self-leadership is that leadership of who you are. It's about having a high level of self-awareness, knowing what your values are, knowing what your priorities are, knowing how other people perceive you. It's about knowing what motivates you to take action. And it's about prioritizing self-care, because at the end of the day, if you don't prioritize your own self-care, then you're not going to be showing up the best you can be to lead other people.
Interesting. So let's talk about your book, Mel, your book title, Fully Connected. I'm going to ask all our viewers and listeners to go and check out Mel Kettle's book, Fully Connected. So please explain to me the concept of fully connected leadership and its importance in today's business environment.
So fully connected leadership is taking the philosophy of self-leadership and just taking it to that next level. It's looking at what is it that we need to do to be fully connected with ourselves so that we can most effectively lead others, so that we have the biggest impact when we aim to inspire, educate, and motivate other people. Mm-hmm. So the book came about because I was working with a lot of communication teams and senior leadership teams across a range of organizations. And one of the things I was observing is that they were all exhausted and they were all on the cusp of complete and utter burnout, because so often they were being expected to do more with less. There was more pressure from above, and there was a lot going on. And so I recognized that it's really difficult to execute on a strategy when you're not feeling great, when you're feeling exhausted. And one of the things we know from extreme overwhelm and stress, particularly in the workplace, is that it can lead to a loss of cognitive and executive function,
yeah.
which means it makes it more difficult to make decisions. It makes it more difficult to remember things in the short term. And it makes it more difficult to communicate with empathy and vulnerability and authenticity. And at the leaders and the teams I was working with needed to be doing all of those things, but they were finding it really, really difficult because they were really stressed a lot of the time.
Interesting. And what would you say are some of the key attributes of a fully connected leader?
So again, it's things like having a really good level of self-awareness. And with self-awareness comes not only knowing who you are and what you stand for and what gets you out of bed in the morning, but it's also having a sense and having a clear understanding of how other people perceive you. I'm sure we've all worked with people who are the, you know, look at me people, or the people who are just really depressing to be around or unpleasant to be around and thinking that could never be me. But if everybody thinks it could never be me, well, some people have to get it wrong because there's people like that. And so it's learning about how do you find out who you really are and how other people perceive you? And then so you're aware of when things don't feel right. You're aware of when, you know, you might have a little niggle, or you might be getting more headaches, or you might be starting to ramp up some bad habits like drinking too much alcohol or increasing the caffeine or staying up late. And recognizing that those pattern changes and those behavior changes means that you can then have the presence of mind to do something about it.
Interesting. And what role does empathy play in fully connected leadership?
So empathy is quite critical for leaders, because if you can't put yourselves in the shoes of others and communicate with empathy and compassion, then you often come across as somebody who is either very egotistical or who doesn't care and is cold and calculating.
Right.
And none of those qualities are positive when you're wanting to build trusting relationships with people.
Right.
So one of the things that is really critical in business today is trust. And the more you can demonstrate empathy for your colleagues and for your staff and for your team, then the more likely they are to trust you. And one of the benefits of that is that when things go wrong, and let's face it, things always go wrong in business, whether it's a big thing or a small thing, the more that trust is there, then the more likely you are to be forgiven of a mistake.
Well said. And how can individuals strike a balance between using technology to connect and ensuring genuine human interaction?
I love technology. I've been an early adopter of a lot of social media, of a lot of AI. I feel that recognizing with technology, the trick is to making sure that you've got practices and habits in place so that you control your use of it, and that you don't allow it to control your use of you. And by that, I mean, it's really easy to rely on to rely on our phone to send a private message or a text message rather than picking up the phone to make a call.
Right.
It's really easy to be getting that dopamine hit all the time when we see a notification pop up or somebody hitting like on a LinkedIn post or an Instagram post or a TikTok. So how do you manage your use of technology so that it doesn't overshadow the real relationships that can be definitely developed on social media and online, but have far greater impact when there's an in-person or a face-to-face or a conversation happening? Correct. And even if that conversation is like ours over, you know, through a couple of cameras on different sides of the world, we can look at each other and we can see each other's facial expressions, which builds a stronger bond than just relying on still images or video that's on social media, for example.
But, you know, thank you for a great response. But the converse of that is that with the rise of social media and online networking, do you think we are becoming more connected or disconnected as a society?
And that's such a good question. And that's something I've been thinking about a lot lately, because my immediate response is to say it's making us more disconnected. Mm-hmm. But I look at my personal experience, particularly, for example, on Twitter, now X. Okay. Still not sure about that name change. But I've been on Twitter since 2009, and I've built relationships with people who I consider to be really close friends, but we've never met. And we probably never will, because of our life circumstances and where we both live and what we do. But I feel like we know each other really deeply.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a capacity to build incredibly strong and trusted relationships using social media networks and other technological networks. But at the end of the day, as humans, we need that physical connection. I think it's really important to remember that people do business with people they know, love, and trust. And trust is amplified when you can actually meet people and look them in the eye and share a meal with them or a drink with them and observe their behaviors a lot more than you can when you're looking through a video screen or when you're, just looking at social media comments or posts.
Correct. Well said. And my next question, Mel, is that how can leaders effectively build and manage strong connections with their teams?
Another favorite question. There's three things that I think leaders can do for this. And it's the first is ask questions, be curious, show an interest in people. The second is really listen to understand, listen with intent. Don't just listen while you're waiting for your turn to talk. But genuinely try to get to know your team members. And then the third is observe. What can you observe about people? Right. How do you observe they show up? And the more you ask, listen, and observe, the more likely you are to build a trusted relationship. But you're also more likely to then notice behavioral patterns that change. And when you notice a behavioral pattern that changes, whether it's a positive habit that becomes a negative habit, or whether it's a negative habit that becomes a positive one, you can make appropriate comments and ask appropriate questions. So, for example, I had a staff member a long time ago who was incredibly reliable, really, really great at her job, incredibly competent. And I noticed over a period of about 3 months that she started to look a little bit sloppy. She was a little bit late. She was having a lot of single day absences, and it was usually a Monday. And she was not turning in the quality of work that I had been used to over the period of time prior to this change. And so I just said to her one day, "Hey, how are you going? I've noticed that you don't seem to be yourself at the moment. And I'm wondering if there's something I can do, or if we should be having a chat about it." And she was really hesitant at first. And then, I just kept on saying, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And then all of this stuff came out that she was dealing with that I had no idea about because she was quite closed about her personal life. But because we spent a long time getting to know each other, and because I'd shared a lot of my, personal stuff with her and with the team, she recognized that I was a trustworthy person she could talk to. But if I hadn't noticed this behavior change or this pattern shift, then she could have just, spiraled down even further into a whole world of hurt and pain. And so I can't emphasize enough the importance of those three things: asking, listening, and observing.
Well said. My next question is that how can an introvert leverage their strength to build meaningful connections even if they find social interactions draining.
So no one ever believes me when I tell them that I'm a shy introvert because I speak on stages at big conferences. I love doing podcasts. I love meeting people, but I love small group interactions. Make me go into a room or an event with a big group of people and I'm shaking in my boots. I'm going to a networking event on in a couple of nights for my local Chamber of Commerce, and I know that there'll be at least 150 people there. Because I haven't lived in this area very long, I reckon I'll know about three people in the room. But one of those people is my next door neighbor, Brian. And so my phone call this afternoon is to Brian next door to say, do you want a carpool? Can I give you a lift to this event? So I can at least walk in with him.
Amazing.
Now, early in my career, I went to a lot of networking events with people I didn't know, and it was terrifying. But I wanted to grow my career. I was really ambitious, and I knew that that would help because I knew that I would meet people who would have influence over me and my career in the future. And I knew that I would meet people who knew other people who could potentially help me and my career in the future, and who I could help as well. It wasn't just me wanting stuff from other people. And one of the things that my boss said to me, when you're going to an event that you don't want to go to, but you've committed, is set yourself some time, set yourself a goal. And she said, go for 30 minutes, have one drink or two, and aim to have conversations with three people. Don't just say, hi, Mel, I'm going, but aim to have like a conversation for between 5 and 7 minutes with three different people. And go with a list of questions that you can ask. If you know who's going to be there, then you can go with a list of people that you want to meet. And one of the great things about technology, we talked before about technology and connection, is that so often events will share the guest list of who's going to an event with other people who registered online in advance. Or there'll be a hashtag that you can follow. And so you can get a sense of who's going to be there so that you can plan your conversations in advance.
Well said. I have time for two or three more questions. My next question is that how can a fully connected leader help address the diversity and inclusion challenges within an organization?
Again, I feel that by asking, listening, and observing, you're going to have a greater, or you're going to give yourself the opportunity to have a greater understanding about what's happening in your organization. One of the areas that I'm really interested in when it comes to diversity and inclusion is women who are going through menopause. So women in their 40s and 50s who are starting to go through or in full throes of perimenopause, who feel often confused and alone and uncertain and not really sure about the emotional and the mental symptoms. Everybody talks about the physical ones of hot flushes and night sweats and lack of sleep. But I know for me and for a lot of my colleagues, it's the anxiousness and the forgetfulness and the brain fog that can be really isolating and really scary when you don't know what you're going through. And so again, for a fully connected leader to notice behavior changes and notice pattern changes, and just also have an awareness of what some of the issues might be in your organization. If you have women in your workforce who are between the ages of, say, 40 and 55, I can guarantee that they're going through perimenopause, or at least the majority of them will be. So if you have an awareness of that, you're far more likely to be able to provide the appropriate support and ask the appropriate questions. And again, this is where empathy comes in, because you can be a man who can have empathy for a woman going through this, even though you will never go through this. But if you can, you know, draw upon your recollections of other times in your life when you might have felt lonely and confused and isolated, then it can help you navigate what can be a really tricky situation.
Great response. Thank you. My question is that, you know, given the fact that everyone's talking about the future of work, What are your thoughts on the future of fully connected leadership and its potential evolution?
Oh, question I need to think a while about. There's, in terms of its evolution, I feel like there's just so much opportunity for leaders to do deep dives into who they are and what they want and what they stand for. And one of the things that I would love to see is a workplace where all the leaders and emerging leaders have this propensity for self-awareness and improving their self-awareness and improving how they prioritize self-care and leading by example. So, you know, leading by example with things like, I need to leave early because I want to go and see my kid play soccer, or I need to leave early because I've got a medical appointment, or just having an awareness of what is important to them and having an awareness of their values so that they can work and we can work in places where our values align with the values of our workplace. Because when we have that alignment of values, we're happier, we're healthier, we show up more with vulnerability and empathy and accountability. And so I would love to see just people taking the time to do some of the self-reflection and the deeper work that's required to be more, to have a greater sense of self-awareness. And then from that, everything else will flow.
Well said. And my last question to you, Mel, and this is for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation. What would you say are three lessons you would like a lot of our young viewers and listeners to take away from your own journey and your understanding of leadership and our conversation?
Yeah, the first one is prioritize self-care and know your body. Have an understanding of what your body and your mind are like when they feel well. Yeah. And when things start to go wrong, if you get a dodgy lump or a spot, or you're noticing some self-harm patterns emerging, go and talk to someone. I had a dodgy looking spot on my leg about 10 years ago, and it was a freckle that changed quite quickly from being a regular freckle to a ugly looking freckle. And if I hadn't gone to the doctor, I'd be dead by now, because it was a really aggressive melanoma that I'm super fortunate that I noticed so that I could get it removed immediately. And so that's what I mean. If things aren't right, check it out. But also know what self-care looks like for you. So is it, and know, you know, if you're an introvert like I am, then self-care for me, a big part of my self-care is having time alone, having time where I can just read a book for pleasure and, you know, do things quietly to recharge my batteries. If you, and it's knowing where your energy comes from. The second thing is be curious. The world is an amazing place, and the more you can ask questions and demonstrate a curiosity and do things that are a little bit out of your comfort zone, like maybe read a book that's a different genre to what you would normally read, or you know, look at somebody else's Netflix subscription to find the shows that the algorithm gives them, and pick one that's very different to what the algorithm gives you. And then see how you feel about that. Like, do you enjoy it? Do you not enjoy it? Does it develop emotions that you're unsure of? And then the third thing is take the time to reflect and to review your past so that you can learn from that for your future. And your past can be, you know, you can go right back to your childhood if you like, but you can also just go back to what happened this morning. This morning something happened and I had this emotion that was new to me, or this emotion that surprised me. And why did I have that? And, you know, ask some deeper questions to find out why you feel the way you do.
Well, and on that note, Mel, and your three amazing lessons: prioritize self-care, be curious, and third one you said was take time to reflect from the past for the future. Thank you so much for speaking to me. I also loved your three mantras of ask, listen, and observe. Thank you for speaking to me about your journey. Thank you for speaking to me about so many different aspects of leadership. And thank you for speaking to me about your book, Fully Connected. Thank you again and good luck.
Thanks very much, Ash. Great to be here.
Thank you for listening to the brand called You Videocast and Podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.